Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevieri with my ever awesome co-host, Amy Cornell. And very excited. Thank you. I want to just give a shout out to those of you who have been reviewing the podcast. I know it's not easy. We did a little slide over thingy, or Amy did it actually for our Instagram, the company Instagram. And for whatever reason, iTunes doesn't, you know, make it easy to leave a review, right?
I know. It's maddening. I guess if you're like a podcast junkie, then it becomes second nature. But, you know, yeah, a lot of the sites don't even take reviews. Some of them only take ratings. It's like, why do they treat podcasts like this?
I know. especially as popular as podcasts are. I mean, I have told authors many times, when you're pitching podcasts, you have to treat them like big media, because many of them are, which leads me into the topic of the show today. And this show, once again, was born out of a conversation that we had with an author who was told that for, I think it was $1,000 or something, if they paid $1,000, that this company could get them on a big major show. And the majority of, so first off, that's a scam. I don't know where else to really start with that. You cannot pay your way. There's no pay to play, right? You cannot pay your way to get on the Today Show or whatever.
Like, none of the big ones. Absolutely not.
Right. None of the big ones. So it was kind of a weird thing. And I was deep diving with this author, and I said, you know, can you tell me more? And this author said, no, I don't really have any other details. Just, you know, send me your cash and I'll get you on the show. And that's always, so I don't know if that's a new thing that's going around or whatever, but just be cautious of those kinds of things. But it did inspire Amy and I to talk about big media, because I think a lot of authors that I talk to, I mean, the majority of them, by the time I get on the phone with them, and Amy's had some time to kind of go back and forth with them, the majority of the authors that I talk to are not asking about big media, but some of them are. Like, some of them are really keen on, I want to get on big morning shows, I want to get in big magazines, I want all of the big things. So we thought it was important to kind of talk about, are you really ready? So this is a combination show of, are you really ready for big media? And we have a checklist, and how to snag media if you think that you're, if you meet all the criteria of our show, then you're probably ready. You're probably ready for media. Let me start by saying that I wrote an article for Publishers Weekly. This is a bunch of years ago. And the article was called Nobody is Born Famous. And the article was birthed out of, not to keep using the variations of the born word, but the article was birthed out of many conversations at that time that I had with authors. This is how far back this article goes. Pre-podcasting, right? Pre-online. I mean, we had the internet, obviously. It's not from the Stone Ages. Amy's like cracking up. Yeah, you know, seriously, speaking of Stone Ages, not to digress, but last night the power went out and our internet went out here. And I sent a text to a neighbor and I'm like, it's like the Stone Ages over here. Like, I didn't know what the hell to do with myself. I was like, okay, well, I guess there's nothing else to do. What did we do in the 80s when we had, I mean, we obviously had power in the 80s. What did we do in the 80s when we had no internet? Anyway, the Nobody is Born Famous article was written before we had we had some online media, but not quite the surge that we have now. And definitely before we had podcasts.
And TikTok.
Oh my gosh, freaking TikTok, the bane of my existence. And I haven't, TikTok. Oh my gosh. But, I had a lot of authors at that time who were like, I wrote a book, therefore I should be on, you know, get me on a major show. And, you know, Oprah still had a show at that time. Get me on Oprah. Get me on. Oh my gosh. If I had a dime for every time somebody said, get me on Oprah, I would be doing this podcast from my home in my beautiful villa in the south of France. Just saying. And one of the things that I talked about in Nobody is Born Famous is that you, you, the day that your book is born is not the day. I mean, there are some exceptions. Like if your name is Colleen Hoover, like the day your book was born, it seems like she just came out of nowhere and just became famous. And that's probably not true because it's not generally true for anyone. But the day your book is born is not the day that you're going to be on national media for the majority of us, right? You have to have some kind of a platform. If media is your ultimate goal, and again, we have a checklist, but if media is your ultimate goal, you really have to think about how are you feeding the machine? How are you, I don't know, Amy, I'm having a hard time finding my words. Like, what are you doing to make yourself attractive mm-hmm. to national media other than, hey, I wrote a book?
Yeah, exactly. I think you were on the right track. Absolutely. This is not the field of dreams, you know?
Right.
You have to work really hard. And I think a lot of people forget this too. And we only know because we are at this all the time for our clients. But every once in a while, I will remember our clients when they're getting anxious about media and things like that. Like, remember, even the smaller scale thought leaders, influencers, smaller scale publications, they are getting probably no fewer than anywhere from 500 to over 1,000 emails, calls a week, you know, with ideas for content and things that they could potentially promote or people they can interview. I mean, there is a lot going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just to say, we've done gratitude podcasts, so I won't go on that rant, but you know, so every opportunity or offer that comes your way is actually really flipping incredible in today's market.
Yeah.
But you really have to work at it. Nobody's going to be knocking on your door. It's not the field of dreams. You really, like you said, you have to make yourself and your platform and your brand and your perspective and everything you have to offer. You have to make that really attractive and interesting. Because again, you're probably one of hundreds, if not thousands, of emails that they will spend a couple seconds on, you know? So knowing you have such a short amount of time, how do you use that time? How do you use that sliver of an opportunity?
Well, and I was in a session with the producers for when Oprah had her show. And they said that they get 2,000 pitches a week at that. I mean, obviously the show is gone now, but at that time they got 2,000 pitches a week. So you can imagine now where we are in an environment where there are, you know, 8,200 plus books published every day. And a lot of these authors trying to get on the show. So how do you break through the noise? And like I said, we're going to cover a little bit of that. And depending on your feedback, listeners, if you like the show, we may, you know, go down the rabbit hole on media, because I could talk about media all day. In fact, when Amy mentioned this to me, I was like, yay, I love it. I love the idea of talking about media. So the first piece is you have to make your home attractive, right? You have to create a platform. You have to create an environment where you are the expert on whatever topic that you've written on. And attention, fiction authors, Tom Clancy was a military expert. He was called upon many, many, many times for his books, because that's how he, or maybe that was his publisher doing that, but that's how he was positioned. So this doesn't necessarily let you guys off the hook in terms of, oh, the big media will never be interested in me. Now, if you wrote a romance novel, I don't know if you want to be the expert on romance. That's a whole different, you know, track that we maybe don't have the time to go down on this. But I think then the other piece of it too is, what is your actual market? So here's what happens. An author will come and, you know, will say, I think that I should be on this major show, whatever. I've used the Today Show a few times. Let's say CBS This Morning or Good Morning America, whatever, right? I want to be on this major show. Is that actually your market? So a lot of times authors will overestimate their reader base, in that not everybody is going to want to read your book. And I think that figuring out what your actual market is really good. I mean, that's going to be that's a crucial step to figuring out where you're going to pitch yourself to. Because the other thing though, too, and you and I, Amy, you and I know this as well. A lot of authors can waste a lot of time and a lot of effort and frankly, a lot of money pitching the wrong shows. And
so much money,
so much money. Yeah. And we've actually, and I know for a fact that we've lost. So when we do a, you know, when I talk to an author and they say to me, I really want big media, and I'll give them my, I'm a realistic publicist kind of thing, which maybe they want to hear, maybe they don't. But I know that we've lost authors to people who will promise them big media, whether or not they deliver, I don't know, because I never do that amount of follow-up. But when I send them a proposal that is somewhat media light, because I feel like it's not really in their best interest to spend their time going after big media. And by that, I mean, let's look at your platform. And we're going to go into that a little bit more as it relates to like local media in a little bit, but they maybe they don't have the topic for it. They don't have the platform for it. There's no, you know, and you also have to consider. So if this is your year, and I applaud you if this is your year, because this is my year, right? It's the year of the dragon. I'm like super excited about that. Totally. I was telling Amy all about that. She was just like, okay, thanks, Penny. But if this is your year to go after media, I think that's great. Here's something else that you want to consider. It's an election year, right? Which makes me crazy. It makes a lot of us crazy, but it makes me crazy in that your window has narrowed. I mean, media, when I first started at this, the media has changed so drastically, you know, and Amy and I have talked about that too. I mean, the window for keeping something in the media is so narrow now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would you agree?
Absolutely. Everything moves so quickly now. And especially, I with social media and things like that, nothing's news for more than 30 seconds, it seems like. You know, it really has to be a big deal. So your coverage that you're going to get, your feature, your whatever, it's like, that's another thing. And we've talked about that, I think, on other media shows as well, about the longevity of any particular kind of coverage you can get. And it's so short now, too. So not that it's not amazing, and it's not something that should still be a goal to add to your resume. You know, keeping some perspective in terms of what it does and what it doesn't. You know, again, it's great for your resume. It's great for proving to the next person you're pitching that you have history with this, that you have, you know what I mean? You have the chops, so to speak. But when people start equating media with book sales and things like that, Penny, that's a whole other show we could address that also starts to skew your goals and your perception of your success and what you want to be doing with your time and things like that too, I think.
Yeah.
Wanting media for the right reasons. But I think to your point, I love that we don't, you know, if you're a brand new author with a debut book and somebody is selling you a multi-$1,000 media campaign and telling you like, oh yeah, you're ready. Like, be worried about that, please. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just not how it works. A lot of people are happy to sell it to you if that's what your goals are, but that doesn't mean it's the right time to be doing that.
Well, and it's not so much about us trying to like manage you. Like, it's not about us trying to parent you when it comes to media, but it's also smart because I've had media people tell me that, you know, if they get a lot of stuff from an author that is not right for them, and then they get all these press releases, which I'm rolling my eyes right now, we'll talk about in a minute. And they got you, and they don't ever turn you down. They just don't respond. Mm-hmm. Don't think for a minute that if you're going after media, that they're not going to remember. And they just kind of deleted your email because it wasn't relevant, that they don't remember you. Because when the time comes that you actually do have something that would be interesting to that producer or writer or whatever, it's hard to dip into that well twice. Mm-hmm. And I've said this many, many, many times. It's like, you don't want to burn any bridges unnecessarily, right? You want to be really careful. And, you know, it's not like you're showing up at their work, hopefully, you know, it's not like you're, it's not that, it's just about, you want to be careful. You want to be careful about going after the media too early in the lifespan of your book. I would save that ace for when you're actually, you know, when you're actually ready.
Yeah. And Penny, you could even say in the lifespan of your career too, you know, for a lot of people, it may not even be that first book that gets them over that edge, that competitive edge to where media makes more sense. You know what I mean? Because building a reputation for a book and proving that the market you wrote it for is responding positively and people are reviewing it positively and buying it. And you know what I mean? There's so many things that go into kind of building that credibility that makes media interested. That can take some time, you know? So it might be your second release with a really impressive first release after, you know what I mean, some months out and with a lot of hard work that actually, again, puts you over the edge into that competitive sphere space where you can go, okay, look what I've done with this book. I've got another book coming out. Let's talk. And I think that's really appealing to media, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It is definitely appealing. And I think that during this quote unquote downtime, you can be doing your homework. So one of my personal pet peeves, and I've done media, but I've also trained a lot of folks in media that I've worked with over the years. And I've had coaching calls with authors, and I will tell you, this will come back to haunt you if you don't do it right. Watch the show, listen to the show, listen to the podcast, read the magazine. I cannot tell you how many times I have an author who says, I want to be in, so let me just give you an example. I want to be in Dr. Oz's magazine. Well, first off, Dr. Oz hasn't had a magazine for a few years. So that's probably going to be difficult for you to be in the magazine. But secondly, have you looked at what Dr. Oz, what that magazine, when it was, what that covered, right? I've had authors that say, I want to be in Real Simple magazine. Well, why do you want to be in Real Simple? Well, because I like it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you like it. So, which means that they're probably reading it, but where do you actually fit in? So part of why this homework is really good is because it'll help you to really understand what they're covering, what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah. We get that a lot with podcasts, I think, too, because there's a lot of really great podcasts that are out there now. And podcasts typically produce a lot of content, and they've got a lot more flexible schedules than certainly TV, by all means. Yeah. And then even editorial schedules, if you're talking about, you know, larger national publications, those are planned out very far in advance. And not that Penny and I have a huge podcast by any means, but even we have changed around when our certain shows release because we record some, we're like, ooh, this sounds better here. Let's move that around. Anyway, podcasts have flexibility. They're a really great market for authors, but you really have to know what they cover, especially as they get more popular. And I, you know, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Penny, we're now seeing offers, you know, these kind of scammy offers, like, I'll get you on this show, I'll get you on that show, which means a lot more authors are going to have this in their face. Like, oh, podcast, maybe that's something I want to get into. You absolutely should, but you need to know the shows. And I think on top of this too, to your point, Penny, is that if you're going to be working with a team, you know, as you mentioned, people have come and made requests. There's not a delicate way to say this. You want your team to take you seriously as well, you know? And I can tell you, when we start brainstorming what's appropriate and looking at your platform and things like that, somebody that comes to us with realistic requests for shows, magazines, things like that, that actually fit their market, we know they've done their homework, you're already inching into they're potentially ready for this space. You know, but if you come to us and say, I want this, that, and the third, just because it's the hottest thing out right now and it's completely inappropriate for your market, candidly, that tells us you're not ready for media yet, that you need to do some homework, you need to do some coaching, you need to do a little self-education. And that's not a bad thing, but it's just one of those markers, like you were mentioning earlier, Penny, there is a process to this and there is some education and you really need to be ready for it before you start dipping your toe in and putting yourself out to the world because you may not get a second chance.
Exactly right. And the other thing though, too, and I know we're going to talk about getting creative in a minute, but when you start to listen, when you start to watch the shows and listen and read the magazines and things like that, especially with this is a very, very much especially true with podcasts, is you will get a real sense of personal tidbits that the hosts share, right? About their lives or things that are going on or something like that. And, you know, that could spark, well, you know, this particular podcast host maybe just had a baby and I've written this book about, you know, whatever that tie-in is, it could end up being a really good match for that show. Not saying that you should pitch something that's completely off of what they normally talk about, but those kinds of tidbits are also fun to include and incorporate in your pitch to them because it tells them that you are paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's another reason why it's important to go through. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. So for years, I have had, you should see, you know, now you get a lot of these magazines on Kindle Unlimited, but at the, you know, years ago, I mean, I would get stacks of magazines that I would subscribe to, or I would go hang out at the Barnes and Noble and be super cheap and just kind of look through them there. You really have to know where you fit. You have to really know where you fit in. Because the other piece of this, though, too, is that whoever you're pitching is not going to figure that out for you. So your goal with whenever you're going after media is to really have your presentation set so that you, you know, you present it to them. And here's where I think this, and this is why it would matter to your readers or your listeners or whatever. This is where it fits in. You have to do that work for them. And that's something that a lot of authors miss. And that's where, like, I know some authors are really big fans of sending out press releases, which I am not really a fan of. And I only think that a press release is not necessarily that it's unnecessary. And sometimes it's very fun and, you know, great to do a press release. Absolutely. But a press release typically doesn't, it's a passive way to market your book. It's not really doing the work for them. Like most big media is they're not going to call you because they saw your press release, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So do we want to talk a little bit more about getting creative or where do we, because we have, I know we promised a checklist, so we're still working through our checklist.
Well, I think we've given them a few, you know, you have to do your research, you have to do your homework. You really have to do a honest assessment of your platform. You know, do you have the chops? Do you have the online resume that shows you are ready for this, that you are going to be an asset, you know, to whoever you're going to be speaking to or the market that they're going to be putting you in front of? I think that's a huge thing. And so, wow, getting creative. I mean, that could be an entire show, honestly.
And I think we've done a show on getting creative before too.
Absolutely. But again, to your point, I think Penny, you made a, I mean, getting creative, I think that's part of definitely a good lead off of listening to the show, get to know the show a little bit, the magazines, you know, if you cover something very particular and they covered it a couple months ago, they're not going to do a repeat. So you need to get creative and think of how can I expand on something they've already covered, you know, and say, I know you covered this back in July. And I have something to add to this, or this industry has changed in this way, or this is where we're at now, you know, build off of what they've already done. I will definitely say that writers that cover certain beats, that is extremely helpful to them. Build off of something that they've already covered, give them something new, you know, to touch back on, things like that. So get creative and don't repeat what has already been out there because that's unnecessary. And they know their readers, listeners, whatever it is, are going to gloss over it. They don't want to read or listen to the same thing twice.
Well, and also think about, so, you know, in the vein of creative, think about seasonal tie-ins. Think about getting, how can, you know, how can you anchor your topic to a particular, you know, seasonal event. And, you know, we have tax season coming up. I know a lot of people who have written financial books love to tether things to tax season, and that's great. But there are a lot of people who want to tether things to tax season. So is that your only anchor? Is that the only thing that is, you know, related to your book? When I say get creative in multiple different ways. Get creative if you can. The more that you can tie your book into something or your topic into something that is top of mind or that is coming up, seasonal or, you know, pop culture, politics, mm-hmm. whatever that is. The other thing though, too, so we had an author a few years ago, and he was a psychologist and he was a child psychologist actually. And he wrote a book about, and this is not the exact title of the book, but the book was really about angry children and had to do with, you know, why school shootings happen and things like that. And this book released on top of a school shooting. And, you know, I told him, because we were done with this campaign at that point. But I told him, I said, you know, you should really reach out to XYZ and do it immediately, right? Because that window by, you know, unless this, you know, depending on how you, the event, depending on what the event is, that window could close very quickly, unfortunately, right? So mm-hmm. what you're, you know, so think about that too. So you can think about seasonal stuff, stuff that's coming up. And if you're pitching like women's magazines or any kind of national magazine, take a look at their editorial calendars, see what they are going to be covering in the future, because they usually work months and months and months out too. So if you're thinking about pitching a Christmas topic for a December issue in November, that is probably already on the newsstands and you're late. You know, so it's also a little bit about timing too, right? Amy, what have we not covered? What are we missing?
I think we covered a lot of it. I think, Penny, to your point too as well, I'll also say, you know, you said, what else can you tie it into? I think that's a great exercise. You know, figure out a few different tie-ins and kind of build off of those ideas. And see what ends up working out the best. You know what I mean? And then consider the timing and things like that. Don't just assume because, okay, this is what my book's about. This is my tie-in and put all your eggs in that basket. You know, use this as an opportunity to build some ideas because realistically, you will also want to change your pitch a little bit depending on who you're talking to. You know, yes, you have a topic, but a magazine that covers things in your industry might be slightly different than what's appropriate to a podcast you're looking to get on. And so I would also recommend treating these places like unique opportunities and don't just point and shoot the same thing to everybody. You know, really think about what you're offering them and how you can be an asset.
Yeah.
And then when you're figuring out who to send it to, and we know this from personal experience, actual book people, and I'm doing air quotes, even though nobody can see me, but actual book people are fewer and far between nowadays.
Thank you. It's
hard to find somebody that covers books, especially if you write nonfiction, you know, it's just, so this is also another career part. Like if you're trying to figure out, if you get a masthead or if you're looking at the staff of somewhere or something like that, and you're figuring out who to send it to, don't just automatically assume it's the book person. Don't just automatically assume going straight to the top because the managing editor is quite literally doing 8 million things all the time.
Right.
You know, so another email in their inbox is likely not going to get you very far either. Right. So really think about what you're offering. And sometimes, Penny, I also think people forget that it's not always about the book. It's about what you're an expert in, what you can add to the conversation. So maybe based on the kind of tips that you pull together that you could potentially offer them for a guest piece or an interview or something like that, it may make more sense to go with the vacation, the person that covers, you know, vacation features and things like that. You know, really think about what you have to offer and think outside the box in terms of how that can be used in different ways. Because, you know, again, somebody that covers health and wellness may actually find what you're pitching them really intriguing because it's not what they normally get pitched. But if you can be creative in how you're presenting it to them, and if you can concisely tell them how their readers, listeners, et cetera, will benefit from it, they'll go, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I have never done anything like this. Let's talk about this because that's something new that I haven't done before. Yeah. And I think that's when people really start getting a lot of yeses.
Yeah. And I think that, I think that's a very, very smart point. Rarely do we pitch book people. I mean, we do pitch book people, but when it comes to media, the book people in big media outlets typically get those books months and months and months before publication. Right. So the final thing that I think we definitely want to touch on, I nearly forgot to mention this, was local media. So we authors on, and we've done a couple of, I think we've done a show specifically on local media and we've done a show on trade media. So if you're just now finding this show, definitely go back and look for those because those were deep dives into specific, you know, where we really don't have the time to get into today. And I wish I had dates handy for you, but I don't, but you'll be able to tell by topic. Amy, we did one on local media specifically, right? Did we not? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah, I think we've done actually a couple that kind of touched on different aspects of promoting yourself locally in general. So
yeah,
media, yeah, yeah. Other opportunities. There's a lot in the backlist for sure.
There's definitely a lot in the backlist and the media rules typically don't change. I mean, the media rules that I adhere to are this pretty much the same rules that I had 23 years ago when I first started doing this. But national media, so one of the ways to build your platform, and this is actually, you know, local media is really a great outlet for both fiction and nonfiction authors. And it is a great way to build your platform. It's a great way to get, and you would be surprised at how much attention that you will get from a local media piece. Create a local twist on something that's making national news, right? And if you watch your local news at all, you have probably observed this, but didn't realize that's actually what they were doing. So they will take a local, they will take something that's big national news, and here's how this is relevant locally, right? The media really, really loves that. So if you can use that to your advantage and go after and pitch your local media, they will really love it. And don't underestimate this, especially if you're in a top 30 media market. And if you're not familiar with what a top 30 media market is, if you pop into Google top 30 media market, I think an article that I wrote on the blog a bunch of years ago still pops up as number. I don't understand why that is, but I think it still pops up as the number one. So you can kind of read about that and see where you are at in the top 30 media markets, but you have the opportunity to go national with something that ends up hitting local. So don't miss out on that opportunity, which I know a lot of authors have a much bigger goals, and I appreciate that. But local media is a great outlet for you. So, Amy, did we miss anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we certainly gave them enough potential, you know, homework and self-reflection to do, to say the least.
we are great at self-reflection. And I think this ended up being a really, I mean, this started with an idea of this author that got this offer, but this ended up being a really meaty show. I would say we'd love your feedback. If you want to do a deeper dive into specific pitches and outlets, we've covered a lot of this, so some of it may be repetitive, but we'd love your show ideas. Again, we always welcome show ideas, and a review, which I know we talked about early on, is not very easy to do, but we'd love a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for tuning in. This is Penny Sansbury and Amy Cornell, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.